a branch shall fall on its hooks once, which is not at all what these days are built. They think that they are immediately familiar with the context. You can very easily take shall fall on its hooks in a familiar way because they're written in easy language. They're not written in antiquated 19th century English like you find so many earlier Asian texts. And they're everything is spelled out so clearly. So you might think that actually there's nothing more than introductory or elementary in these books. This is a great mistake. As Prabhupada says here, I can finish the Bhagavatam very quickly, but I have to present it for your understanding. It requires deep thought, very carefully, for the common man. So the glory of Srila Prabhupada's books is how he presented the deepest realizations and understandings in a way that is accessible. And you might overlook that, because Prabhupada makes it sound so easy. But yet you just try preaching to someone. You just try explaining these things to someone. In your own way, without using Prabhupada's thoughts, and you'll see how difficult it is. Prabhupada makes it sound so easy. And indeed, he has made it easy. Therefore, he would always explain that if you want to know how to preach, cram his purports and speak them, and then gradually your own style will develop in presenting the knowledge of his purports. So let us not ever fall victim to that illusion, thinking that, oh, okay, I've read these books once, and as I say, it's not often these days we find devotees even reading all of Prabhupada's books once. So you read them once, and you think, okay, I'm aware of everything. Now I need something more esoteric. If you study the book, you may not have the purports, you'll find such unlimited depths to your meditation. Srila Prabhupada presents the deepest themes in such an easy way, but still those themes are so deep they require constant reflection. Therefore, you'll always have the experience that as you read these books over and over again, you keep seeing more and more depths. Sometimes you kick yourself and say, I never saw that before. Why did I miss that? Or why did I not take this point to be significant? Because the books are spiritual, they reveal themselves according to your service appetite. This is the principle of understanding Vaishnava literature. As stated in the first canto, Vasudeva Kataruchi Sanmaha Sevaya Vipra. By rendering service to the great soul, then you get the Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. You get the Ruchi, the taste of Vasudeva Katha talks about Lord Krishna. It comes from your devotional service. The more dedicated your service is, the more you'll be able to concentrate on the holy name and the glories of Krishna. And then, the more you concentrate on the holy name and the glories of Krishna, the more attentive your service will be. So the two go hand in hand. We're looking for absorption in Krishna consciousness. That is our quest. Why is the material world attractive? Because it seems to offer you the hope for absorption. That's what everyone is looking for. That's why the intense activity of Raja Guru that everyone in the material world is so bound up by. It seems to be fulfilling because that Raja Guru activity offers you apparently absorption. You can absorb yourself in karma, lust. Two persons can just combine and ignite into an explosion of absorption. This is what mind wishes to attract you. Look, you're feeling empty. But here is absorption. Here's something that will completely absorb you. And so like a moth flying into the fire, they Now, we can deal with this addiction by understanding that bhakti also offers absorption, but an absorption far deeper and far more fulfilling than any absorption rajaguru can offer. But we should be honest with ourselves. We are looking for a chance to absorb ourselves, to really get into something and have something envelop us and just completely saturate us. We want that kind of experience. Indeed, devotional service does that. And then, when we look at the different aspects of devotional service, our practical duties, the hearing and chanting, we can see how they all are working together to increase the absorption, our absorption in Krishna consciousness. We were speaking last night how Krishna promises you, for one who's always thinking of me, worshiping me, dedicating everything to me, I become that devotee's swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Krishna is saying, I will reciprocate. He's promising you. Don't think you just give everything to me and I don't do anything for you. No, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'll be your swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. That is the Lord's promise. But please remember these things. How it's so easy because of Lord Chaitanya to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even in this age of Kali. For those of you who weren't here last night, we had a very nice 1 hour Sundararti. And then we spoke briefly about how Maya makes Krishna consciousness look difficult. But actually, Lord Chaitanya makes it very easy. So we have these two different themes running in our life. On the one hand, Maya says, oh, this is difficult, how long can you go on? And on the other hand, Lord Chaitanya is making understanding Krishna, absorption in devotional service, so easy. So we're constantly going back and forth. Back and forth is difficult. Oh, this is nice. Oh, it's difficult. Actually, this is nice. This is really boring thing. Oh, this is really a tough thing. Back and forth again. And of course, if you're a weak devotee, you go back and forth. Should I go? Should I stay? I'll stay. No, maybe I should go. Simply understand this principle of absorption. That's what you want. That's what you're looking for in material nature. People try for it by going to a sports event. What do you absorb? In the crowd, in the match going on, in the field. Of course, everyone knows romantic absorption. This is what people are looking for. I want my consciousness to be enthralled. I want to be into it. Nothing competes with the absorption provided by devotional service. And when you study Srila Prabhupada's books with a mood of absorption, the wonders of those books will be revealed to you. And the more service, dedicated service you do, the more you see things in those books. Yet the themes are very deep, although the language is not complicated. What he's saying is very deep. Don't make the mistake of just letting it all shoot by you. You have to think about so many things he's written. As he says here, it requires deep thought, very carefully. The deepest things are being presented for your understanding, and it will take you at least a lifetime to get anywhere near the bottom of those books.
Oh.
Artista. Jagatam,
Jagatam,
by the inhabitants of the universe.
By the inhabitants of the universe.
Vandhyam,
Vandhyam,
worshipful.
Worshipful.
Tat,
Tat,
Tat. Vishnu,
Vishnu,
my Lord Vishnu.
My Lord Vishnu.
Param,
Param,
Supreme.
Supreme.
Padam,
Padam,
situation.
Situation.
Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet. The planet known as Vishnu Loka, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally. When Dhruva Maharaj went to perform austerities, he was very determined to achieve a post never dreamed of by his forefathers. His father was Uttanapad, his grandfather was Manu, and his great-grandfather was Lord Brahma. So Dhruva wanted a kingdom even greater than Lord Brahma to achieve, and he requested Narada Muni to give the facility for achieving it. The associates of Lord Vishnu reminded him that not only his forefathers, but everyone else before him was unable to attain Vishnu Loka, the planet where Lord Vishnu resides. This is because everyone who is the dear world is either a Kami, a Jnani, or a Yogi, but there are hardly any pure devotees. The transcendental planet known as Vishnu Loka is especially meant for devotees, not for Kamaris, Jnanis, or Yogis. Great rishis or demigods can hardly approach Brahmaloka, and as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmaloka is not a permanent residence. Lord Brahma's duration of life is so long that it is difficult to estimate even the duration of one day of his life, and yet Lord Brahma also dies, as do the residents of his planet. Bhagavad Gita says, except those who are Vishnu Loka, everyone is subjected to the four principles of material life, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. The Lord says, the planet from which one's going, no one returns, is my supreme abode. Dhruva Maharaj was reminded, you are going in our company to that planet from which no one returns to this material world. Material scientists are attempting to go to the moon and other planets, but they cannot imagine going to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, for it is beyond their imagination. By material calculation, traveling at the speed of light, it would take 40,000 light years to reach the topmost planet. By mechanical processes, we are unable to reach the topmost planet of this universe. But the process called Bhakti Yoga, as executed by Maharaj Dhruva, can give one a facility not only to reach other planets within this universe, but also to reach beyond this universe to the Vishnu Loka planets. We have outlined this in our small book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Translation again. Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet. The planet known as Vishnu Loka, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets in the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally. Om again to Chakshun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gurudeva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama that there is a standing invitation to go back home. Those who are distributing those invitations to go back to God, certainly they will get recognition from Krishna. And if they remain true to Krishna's purpose, then you'll easily go back home, back to God. Krishna can put the ticket in your hand, but you have to hold on to the ticket. Sometimes tickets are dropped. That's not Krishna's fault. I had an experience. I was going to see the Saint Carmelites on Queen Street. And for a long time, many years since I've driven to Senator Hoffman, find a parking space and parking gathers. So I got the ticket as I drove in. And then I parked my car. And then I looked, where's the ticket? As I was leaving the car, and I couldn't find the ticket. Put it somewhere. I couldn't find it. So I had the ticket. I got it from the machine. Then when I parked the car, went to go out. I realized, where's the ticket? So I looked through the whole car for 15 minutes, couldn't find it. Lost the ticket. Then I went, I figured I'll go to the man, the cashier, and down on the ground floor, explain it, probably. The immersive Kiwi, everyone's so polite here, and they'll understand. Hey, I just drove in, I didn't get my ticket, and I lost it. You understand, maybe people need you, you're taking your ticket, So I went and I was telling my story, I just drove in, I got the ticket, and I can't find it.
Look at the sign, mate. Lost ticket, $27.
Why did that happen? I dropped my ticket. I lost it. Why? But the fact is, the parking garage makes the tickets available. You're supposed to hold on to it. If you drop it, that's your fault. What can the garage do? Similarly, Krishna gives you independence. If you misuse it, what can Krishna do? He works hard for your reparation, but we don't think about that. We simply think, why did Krishna put me in this situation? Why did Krishna let this happen to me, that happen to me? And sometimes, even we say, if Krishna really loves us, he'll force us to go back to Godhead. Why do we have to go through all this purgatory process? Why do we have to go through all this sadhana? Why do we have to go through all this tolerating of other devotees? Why does Krishna just take us straight back to Godhead if he's really God? He can do it. But he is doing it. Our business is to fight. Yes, I want to go back to Godhead, but I just have a few things to do first. Krishna is taking us back to Godhead. He comes in so many ways. As his holy name, as Srimad Bhagavatam, as his representative, as the Archivigraha. So many ways Krishna's coming to take us back to Godhead. So there we think, how is it that I am fighting Krishna off? Instead of thinking, why doesn't Krishna force me to go back to Godhead? He should just do it, just grab me. I'll be back home. That's it. As I always point out, who wants forced love? Does anybody want forced love? How would you like it? If, let's say, you're a householder, and after 5 years of marriage, your wife tells you, I just want to be honest with you. The only reason why I'm married is because the temple president divorced me. How would your male ego feel? For 5 years, you've been thinking, because of my hated qualities. Because of my rabbinical potency, my kingness, she was attractive. Then you find out 5 years later, it was only because, I was forced to marry you. You would like that. Everyone wants to feel desired. They want to feel like they're the voluntary object of someone's affection. So Krishna is the supreme person, Adi Purusha. He's the original person. So Krishna knows how to get the best love. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows that the best love is voluntary. So the Lord arranges the reformatory experience of material existence so that you'll voluntarily give him love. Because voluntary love is the most ecstatic. So Krishna knows what he's doing. He's the Supreme Lover. He gives you your independence so that you can choose him, and that makes the love better. Just like even according to your minute, tiny conceptions, if someone chooses you, you feel so good. I've been chosen. Yes, this is it. Just think about that feeling. I've been chosen. You have chosen me. You get a good feeling. Never mind all the other reasons why devotees marry Krishna consciousness, but still there's an element of feeling good that you're chosen. Someone's going to want you. Someone's going to take care of you. Someone's choosing to be with you. You just get a real good feeling out of that. So, because you're part of Krishna, you have those feelings. And Krishna is the most expert at love. Therefore, he arranges that you have a chance to choose him. Krishna consciousness is a process of continual choice of Krishna's pleasure. Not one time, not once a week, not once a month, but moment to moment, constantly choosing what's best for Krishna's pleasure. Everyone's getting a ticket, but will we hold on to it? Sometimes devotees, they say, oh, we know, we've heard about some older devotees. They had difficulty. So, what about the younger devotees? How could there be any vote? Actually, in Prabhupada's movement, there's so many devotees. It just happens that when there is some problem with some devotee, it becomes known. But what about all the devotees who are working hard to reach the problem? That's also a meditation. We should know about that. Often, in fact, in every case, I'll say, in every case, in case you want to know what's going on, in every case where there's an older devotee who's having severe problems with Krishna consciousness, you can always see that that devotee does not know how to associate with his godhood. You can even have a big title, big position, but if you don't have that camaraderie with your God brothers, you're going to be isolated, and you're going to start thinking you are the all-in-all. And this way, you become an easy target for mind. Please bear that in mind. This is becoming more and more known these days, as we learn how to execute Krishna consciousness in the material world. And yes, sometimes the school of hard knocks is there. And so, after almost 30 years since Srila Prabhupada's departure, it's quite obvious that when even older devotees don't know how to associate with their godbrothers, they become very proud, they become isolated, they become vain, or they become weak, and they become easy targets for Maya. So it's very important to know how to take advantage of Sangha. Therefore, those older devotees who plan on being around for a while, they work at the art of association. It's not simply that because you're a sannyasi, or even if you're doing a particular devotional service of initiating devotees, it doesn't mean that suddenly you are exempt from meaningful association with Vaishnavas. No. In fact, you have more of a burden to do that. And if you ignore that burden, it is at your own peril and at the peril of anyone who's following. So these are the basic facts, which are now more known than ever before. We can see that devotees who know how to associate in the sankirtan process, hearing and chanting about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, Krishna consciousness always becomes quite obvious for them. And when you seal yourself off, you isolate yourself, I don't have to associate anymore, I know what I'm doing, I've been around for a long time, who are the others? Then you can make an easy picture for life, even if you've been around for a long time. Because Krishna doesn't like devotees who are proud. Although the gopis are the dearest devotees of the Lord, and there's no question of any fault in the gopis, still, it could be said that Krishna saw they were proud and left them before the rasa days. It still could be said, you could look in that way, and the Prabhupada does mention that in Krishna, that the Lord does not like his devotees to be proud. Because the gopis were proud. Because apparently even Srimati Radharani was proud, therefore Krishna left them all. But there's always a deeper point. The acharyas point out that actually there was no fault in the gopis. There was no fault in Srimati Radharani. They were proud of Krishna. They were thinking, Krishna needs us for his pleasure. His pleasure is not complete without our service. That is a different kind of pride. So you can look at the situation through different angles. But the angle we'll consider right now is that Krishna doesn't like devotees to become proud. And if you become proud, even if you've been a devotee for 30,000 years, or just for 30 years, you're going to have problems. Because Krishna knows how to bring you down. And then once you're humble, you may come to your senses. And of course, there's no loss for any devotional service that anyone's done. It becomes their eternal credit. Who knows? Maybe in our previous life, we were doing devotional service nicely and got proud. And therefore, we cannot go back to God in this previous lifetime. We had to go through some experiences, and now here we are back again. Amen. So, let us have a non-sentimental, practical understanding about independence, pride, and boastful service, and the need, the perpetual need for association. As soon as you think, Krishna consciousness is my own business, my own personal thing, I'll do it my way. I've been around for a couple of years, I know how to do everything, I'm just going to fly my own ship. You're an easy target for the materialism. You'll drop your ticket. It's almost guaranteed you'll drop your ticket because of the chip energy. It's so ferocious and so deceptive. You get caught up in it. It's like I was in my car with a ticket in my hand and I got caught up in the gear time. I must have put the ticket down and slipped under the seat. So, there's the spiritual image of the Lord, which is absorbing, and there's the material image of the Lord, which is absorbing. Without the sun of the devotees, we easily fall victim to absorption in the material image, and we drop the ticket. Now, who is speaking to Srimad Bhagavatam in this verse? The messengers of the Lord Vishnu are talking to him. Please come with us and live there eternally to Vishnu Loka. This is the invitation we want. We have to be a bit destination conscious. We shouldn't just perform devotional service blindly without analyzing what is my destination. Just like I haven't journeyed around often for so long, so I have to use a map book to get to my destination. And the map book has 99, so it's a bit outdated. I notice the streets are different now, but still, the point is, I have to keep in my mind the destination and how best to get there. Sometimes I ask, what's the quickest way to get from point A to point B? I used to know, but I don't remember. But regardless of whether I remember or not, I have to always be thinking, what is my destination? And this thinking of what is your destination is what materialistic society makes impossible for you. I've explained before that materialistic society is always pressing on your mind and senses. How do you feel now? What are you going to do with your senses now? That is the ultimate reality. You have a mind and senses now. What is the feeling? Tell us, what is the feeling now? Is your anger fulfilled? Is your lust fulfilled? How is it now? And so you get bewildered and you can start meditating on your body and mind right now, forgetting that you have a destination. Where are you moving towards? Where are you heading towards? It's like the thing. Driving companies, travel agent. I come into this agency and I was thinking to go somewhere, but I come into this office, I just start noticing the temperature of the air conditioner, I notice the color of his desk, I just look around the office and mesmerized by so many things. And so then Rani Papa Prabhu asked me, yes, can I help you? Where would you like to go? Don't worry about that. It's kind of chilly in here, isn't it? Look at the color of the rug here. Could it be a different color? And you! Why are you wearing plastic glasses and not wire-rimmed glasses? And just go on and on like that. Finally, he'll just say, excuse me, sir, but this is a travel agency meant to take people places. You're like, oh, we can help you. Worry about where we're going. Just be caught in your mind and senses right now. Ooh, where's your secretary? This is the modern standard of life. Stephen Berry is a user of Krishna consciousness development intelligence to see how ludicrous the whole thing is. Where are you going? You are moving towards old age and death. So what then? What is your destination? I was explaining to some devotees earlier this week how I was on an airplane from Melbourne to Auckland. I was sitting next to an American guy who was a director of a big international firm in Australia, construction design. He had just been in India, in Delhi. He was in charge of the new metro system. I know they had an underground metro system in Delhi. And so he was dealing with that, and now he's flying to New Zealand because he's in charge of the new sewer system. So that's all about it. Something about the traffic. Anyway, he was telling me about his wife.
Yeah, it's my second marriage, first one didn't work, it was fine in the beginning. I thought the relationship would last, and then after a while, I just wasn't interested anymore. And she started becoming interested in someone else, and she told me, and she said, "Look, all you have to do is say you love me, and I won't pursue some relationship. Everything will be fine. Just tell me you love me."
I couldn't say it. So that relationship fell apart. And then after 30 years, he met his childhood sweetheart again. He'd never seen her for 30 years. But the girl who lived next door, who had been pining after, but he could never get. 30 years later, she shows up. She had a busted marriage too. She had two kids. And so finally, in the late 40s, they meet again for the first time since their teenage years. And so immediately they knew, this is meant to be, this is meant to be. So he married her. I said, okay, are you happy now? No, I don't think this is going to work. So come on. Maybe you would go through another divorce.
Well, it's just, I just don't find the intensity that I'm going for. I just don't find the absorption. You've got to understand the family I come from.
Then he began to explain something to me. It really blew my mind.
So, my parents, even in their own age, they're always lovey-dovey. They're always hanging on to each other, and this thing and that thing. So imagine that's the kind of relationship I want. I just want a perpetual, passionate thing. He told me, did you know? He said in a great definitiveness, I think revealing secret baby mantra. Did you know? This is real amazing. Okay. Once, when my father was 84, and my mother was 82, I happened to walk in their room, and they were. And I went to that room. I was so happy to realize that even though he was 84, she's 82, they were still. Hell, 84, 82. And he says, this is the kind of love I want. This is the kind of passion I expect for my life. I said, well, do me a favor. Next time you call your wife, she's in the USA. I said, you tell her, you sat next to Hare Krishna, and he said that she's right for not responding to your passionate ads. You're okay. I'll tell her she's right.
So this shows you how people get so absorbed in the mind and body of the moment and have no concern where they go.
He's about to wreck his second marriage just because it wasn't providing him all the passionate absorption he wanted. He admitted, yes, it's perfect. We knew each other since teenagers. We actually wanted to be together as teenagers. We meet again 30 years later. But still, there's something missing. This doesn't all ignite the way I want. So I told him, get real, man. It's just, you've got responsibilities. She's got two kids.
And he's going on and on lamenting me because he doesn't have any children. It's too late for him to have kids. He's going on and on lamenting about that. Oh, I just wanted to be a father, to have my own product. But finally, I told him, you're pushing 50. What's your destination? besides going off of the building sewer system. What is your destination in life? Well, I guess that's why I need you people grab. And he pulled out a business card from his pocket. Here's my card. Send me a book.
As a one hotel, you stay in the office. You know? You can arrange, you know, for something.
Just look at them. I want to blow my cover here, often. You deliver the booking to my office and grab
it. All right, have it your way. This is what you call progress. That's when you live your whole life in a frantic, passionate pursuit of money, status, and sensual gratification, and you don't know where you're going. It's like you get caught in traffic, and you, on your way out here from the city, but you don't know where you're going. You just happen to be caught in traffic down on the Northwest Motorway. Why are you sitting in traffic? Where are you going anyway? I don't know. Got caught up in a thing and, you know, just wanted to experience it based on happening. This is how the average person thinks today. Even they can be so aristocratic, so materially successful. You can look at this man and think, wow, he's got it made. He's head of an international construction firm. He's living in Australia, communities of America, seeing his wife and family every month. Wow, this is it. But the emptiness that he presented to me was so horrifying. Nothing he would do would really satisfy me. Although externally he presented this demeanor of success, in his heart he was so unfulfilled and empty that he's about to bust up his second marriage to his long-lost childhood sweetheart. Because even though things are okay, it's not super okay. This is the reality. What is our destination? The mission of Jews are coming to take you along back to God. He knows his destination. When he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was told by the Lord, you go on, render emotional service, and then at the end of your life, you'll go back to God. So Jews had everything firmly in view. Why I'm here, where I'm going. He did his duties, ruling, in a Krishna conscious way, and at the right time he left his kingdom, he fully developed, fully devoted himself to spiritual practices, and then the missionaries come to take him back to God. Destination. He always has a destination in mind. Just like sometimes living with devotees, it's not easy because you quickly find out that it seems every devotee doesn't do things your way. Mm-hmm. And so it can take some bit of adjustment. But Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice example. That if you're flying on an airplane, let's say from Auckland to Melbourne, and you're sitting next to someone who you don't really get along with, do you freak out? Do you try to jump out of the airplane with us? No, you think, my main goal in life is to get to my destination. So even if there are inconveniences in personal relationships, I'll tolerate them for the sake of getting to my destination. Just like this person I was sitting next to, I ended up preaching to him, but at first it was a moderation. As soon as he sat down, he saw India, he wanted to talk. And I had my trip all planned for the next 2.5, next 3 hours flying to New Zealand. I was going to catch up on editing along the bottom of America. I'm really just going to absorb. And then as soon as he gets on the plane, just talking, telling me to go right. So what am I supposed to do, you know? Excuse me, I'm an Hare Krishna. Shut up. I had to deal with it, you know. So it shows you that sometimes life is what happens when you're busy making plans. And even in associating with devotees, this will happen. There'll be devotees who may feel that they're causing an inconvenience, but you just have to keep your destination in mind. That is very important. Just like in the Krishna Lila, with Nanda Maharaj being taken to the kingdom of Varuna, what happened? You see, this These Krishna Leelas are very action-packed. If you take into account the time scale in which the Krishna Leelas are happening, Govardhan Puja is one day, then about 7 days, and then Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, holds it for 7 days. And then just maybe 5 days after that is when Nandarai goes to the bank of the Jamuna and is taken by the servant of Varuna. This is all happening within like 12 days. Govardhan Puja, holding up Govardhan Hill, Indra offering his prayers at the Govinda Kund, at the Saravi Canal, and then Nandaraj being taken to the watery kingdom of Varuna. It's all within 12 days. So you how exciting the real world is. So, Nandaraj apparently went to the Jamuna to take bath for a long time. Things are real technical here, because actually he wasn't wrong. The servant of Varuna, the demigod in charge of the waters and oceans, should have known that actually there's a technicality, he isn't bathing at the wrong time. But the servant didn't know that. Moreover, the servant didn't understand this is Krishna's Leela father, Nandaraj. Completely special person. But that ignorant servant took him. He's bathing at night in the Jamuna River a long time. I'll take him to see Varuna. Varuna will sort him out. So, Nandaraj disappeared into the water. When he didn't come out, the coward men were with him, associating with him, because Nandaraj, he's in charge of him. So his associates. So he's not coming out of the river. He's disappeared. They immediately began to call Krishna, Rama, Krishna, Rama. Krishna heard their calls and immediately understood what's going on. Nandaraj has been taken by a servant of Varuna to the demigod Varuna's water of kingdom. So Krishna went into the Jamuna to get to Varuna's kingdom. What was Krishna's mission? I want to show the Vrijvasis once again they have no fear of any demigod. He had just done this a few days before in the lifting of Govardhan Hill. Krishna diverted Indra Puja into Govardhan Puja to make it clear that in Vrindavan we have table of bhakti, exclusive worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want to establish that. And also Krishna wanted to minimize Indra's ego. So once again, here is Krishna showing the Vrijvasis. Don't fear any demigod. This is Vrajadam, table of bhakti, pure devotional service. So Krishna went to the kingdom of Varuna. And Varuna, upon seeing Lord Krishna arrive, was just jubilant. And he offered ecstatic prayers that now the mission of my life is fulfilled. Now the reason for my taking a material body after body is fulfilled because I'm seeing your transcendental body. Now I have achieved the goal of my life. Finally, the culmination of my taking so many births in this world has reached its ultimate conclusion. I'm seeing you. You are the Supreme Soul. The illusory energy responsible for creating this world does not touch you. You are Brahman. You are Paramatma. You are Bhagavan. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that Krishna is thinking, this is embarrassing hearing all this praise. Does he understand my power, boy? You think for my father? So then, Varuna says, my servant, unfortunately, out of ignorance, made this mistake. First of all, he's wrong because it wasn't an inauspicious time when Nandaraj went into the Varuna. And secondly, and most importantly, he's wrong because he did not understand the stature of Nandaraj. So he said, Varuna said to Krishna, here is your father, your worshipable father. And he showed that Nandaraj was sitting on a throne of jewels. Varuna was worshipping Nandaraj because Nandaraj is Krishna's Leela father. Nandarad is sitting on a throne being worshipped by Varuna, but Nandarad is thinking of his worshipable deity, Krishna. So then, Krishna takes Nandarad away from Varuna's kingdom, back to Vrindavan, and Nandarad starts telling everyone,
"I can't believe what happened.
I was at Varuna's kingdom, and Varuna was offering such respect to my son Krishna. Amazing! He was offering such prayers to him, I heard it all, I saw it all, offering respect to my son Krishna."
Then the cowherd men he was talking to, they started to philosophically speculate.
Now, Maharishi said that you, Nandarad, would get a son like Narayan. But maybe your son is actually Narayan. You think your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What's going on now, Vrindavan?
Yes, from time to time in Braj Leela, the residents of Vrindavan remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
But it doesn't, this remembrance does not change their affection for Krishna. It's different than Arjuna in the Gita. When Arjuna saw the universal form, his feeling of friendship, his satyaras, was affected. And then when he told Krishna, please, forgive me. How many times have I been so casual with you, lying down with you, joking with you, eating with you, forgive me. Similarly, when Krishna and Balaram approached Vasudeva, their father in Mathura, when Vasudeva had seen an extraordinary display of Krishna's opulence, he would not accept the affection that Krishna and Balaram were offering him as their parent. Initially, he would not accept because he had seen the opulence of the Lord, so he would just stand there offering respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, his parental feelings, his vatsalya-ras, was temporarily interrupted until Krishna covered him over again in yoga mind. But in the case of the residents of Vrindavan, even though sometimes they can remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their feelings are not disturbed. They still think, you mean Krishna's God? Anyway, he's still Yashodananda. He's still the son of Yashoda. She has to be him. She has to call him. Oh, you mean Krishna is God? Anyway, he's still the cutest boy in the village. Their feelings, their rasa is not disturbed. That shows you how intense the Krishna praise is in Vrindavan. Now you might say, this means that the residents of Vrindavan are lacking knowledge. They don't understand the operations of the Lord. No, that is not so. As Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that for these topmost spontaneous lovers of God, even when they see the opulence, the Aishwarya of the Lord, it doesn't affect their love. That is the nature of the deepest love of God. They might even see the opulence, but still, they go on with their feelings of spontaneous attraction. So it's not a fault. It's not due to ignorance. Kaviraj Goswami explains it's due to the power of their love, the cable of bhakti, the 100% focus on Krishna. And anyway, look at it another way. Jiva Goswami points out, look, you have to understand that the Aishwarya, the opulence of the Lord, is secondary. The primary thing about Krishna is his all-attractive beauty. So the residents of Vrindavan are simply overlooking the secondary aspects and focusing on the primary. Therefore, they are the topmost scholars. Therefore, they are the topmost knowers of the Vedas, because they are completely absorbed in the primary aspect of the Lord, which is his beauty, his all-attractiveness, his sweetness. So, the cowherd men there speculated. We think your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not simply like Narayan. He is Narayan. since he is Narayan, we wonder, will we be going back to Godhead? Here they are in Homer and Dali. But they're back to Godhead. You can't get any further than that. But they're wondering, since he's God, I wonder, what will be our destination in the next life? Will we go back to Godhead? Now, Krishna, as the omniscient, the three verse 9 of Godhead, knew their desires. He could understand what was going on. And we have to understand Krishna's reciprocation. Krishna is eager to show everyone the spiritual world. That is the basis of the Sankirtan movement. The Lord is eager that everyone be informed about the spiritual world. So, why not inform the residents of Vrindavan, who, although living in Vrindavan, were wondering, what's it like? The spiritual sky, Brahmajyoti, Vaikuntha, Krishnaloka, what's it all like? In other words, because they were so deeply absorbed in love with Krishna, they were not even thinking that they had already achieved the pinnacle. They are fully satisfied with Krishna, but at the same time, they're thinking, we're just ordinary coward men. I wonder, what's it like in the supreme destination? So Krishna sensed all that. And then Krishna spoke a very ironic verse, which has an apparent double meaning. He said, it's amazing how living entities in this world wander from the highest planets to the lowest planets according to their activities based on desire and their lack of understanding. It's amazing. They don't know what their destination is, still pushed by desire and not understanding. They're wandering here and there. Apparently, this verse seems to refer to materials, just like this man I met on the plane. Propelled by desire, he had no idea where he was going, although he could be part of the design team for a metro in Delhi and a huge sewer system in Auckland. He was an engineer and a corporate director, but ask him, what's your destination? Where are you going?
I don't like that.
Can't say, it's a funny beautiful. So, apparently, Krishna is commenting about materials. They wander here and there, don't know where they're going. They're not aware of their destination. Actually, no. Krishna is maybe referring to the residents of Vrindavan. Just see, they're so intoxicated with pure love of me that they don't even understand what's really going on. That they've already attained the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. They've already attained the highest destination. They don't see that because they're blinded by yoga mind. This verse points out that there are two ways you can be blinded. By Mahamaya, so you wander into the material world and never understand what you're doing. And then you can be blinded by Yogamaya, that you're so much in love with Krishna that you forget Krishna is God. The main meaning of this verse is about the residents of Vrindavan. They're doing so many activities saturated with the love of Krishna. They don't know their destination, that they've already attained the Supreme Personality of Godhead and this most intimate abode. So Krishna decided, let me give them a tour. Let me show them. So the Lord took them to a lake and he submerged them in the lake. By submerging them in the lake, they got to see the spiritual sky, the Brahman effulgence. The acharyas point out that once you get submerged in the Brahman effulgence, generally you don't get out. You just get caught up in the monism, the undifferentiated oneness, and you lose your sense of servitude to the Supreme Lord. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can dump them into the lake, dump them into Brahman, and then pull them out of it. He took them beyond Brahman effulgence. And so, he next showed them Vaikuntha, and then he showed them Krishna Loka. So what was the conclusion of these residents of Vrindavan when Krishna revealed to them his highest abode in the spiritual sky? When they saw Krishna Loka, what was their conclusion?
Amazing! It looks just like Vrindavan! How interesting!
Wow! And when we end up telling each other,
the spiritual world. Krishna is just like Vrindavan.
That's why Krishna is having fun.
Now,
let us please keep in mind that we're meant to go somewhere. Don't think you want to just live and live and live and never have to deal with your destination. The quicker you start thinking, what is my destination, the better off you'll be. Get your ticket and hold on tight. That is the principle.
All right. Any questions?
You mentioned that the mentality of the parent and the dad and thinking about the sort of the world. Was it taking place in the past time in the world or the sort of world?
No, it's a whole of Vrindavan. This is Krishna's pastime in the material world, but Homo Vrindavan is not the material world. It's Krishna's abode within the material world. Just like the pole star, Dhruva Maharaj's planet that he was given, it's a tricky one. Actually, it's not annihilated. So in one sense, Dhruva Maharaj is already back to God. Because Krishna had fulfilled his desire, I'm going to give you a planet, a residence, that has never before been attained by anyone else. Not your father, not your grandfather, Mani, not even your great-grandfather, Brahma. Before Dhruva Maharaj occupied the pole star, it was empty. Now, the pole star has a spiritual dimension to it, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives. So, in one sense, Dhruva was already back to Godhead. It's just that the Vishnu-duttas revealed to him the spiritual realm that's on the pole star. Bhoma Vrindavan is Vrindavan. Krishna, by his expertise, can manifest his most intimate abode within the material world. And yet? Yes?
Yes.
If you work hard in the material world before coming to devotional service, you should at least work that hard for Krishna. Whatever your capacity is, you should give it all to Krishna. By giving it to Krishna, it becomes purified. This is Narayana's expertise in dealing with Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had passionate goals. I want revenge against my stepmother. I want to humiliate my father by getting a kingdom better than anyone in our family line has had. I want to put my brother in his place. All these, goals which were not pure devotional service. But Narayana, you had to deal with that. And Narayana gave him the Vishnu mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate, and Dhruva attained the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his determination. And then, after attaining the Supreme Lord, Dhruva began to lament. Oh, what a fool I was. I was worshiping that person who can stop the chain of birth and death, and I was worshiping him to get things that will perpetuate the chain of birth and death. What a fool. So he gives many verses of lamentation. The Lord had fulfilled his desire. Indeed, there was revenge against his stepmother. She died in a forest fire. There was revenge. He outclassed his brother by his opulence. Eventually, his brother died in a forest, killed while hunting. And he humiliated his father by getting a bigger kingdom than greater than anyone in his family line had, even his great-grandfather.
from all of Ovrachi by the grace of Krishna, but much more importantly, Jiva Maharaj got devotional service. And he recognizes when the Lord appeared before him. At that time, when the Lord appeared, he simply asked, "Give me an association of devotees." But the Lord was conscious that you also had some other desires. I'll fulfill those. This is how kind Krishna is. He fulfilled them, but in a way that made Dhruva lament. "Why did I ask for this? What a fool am I?" These were sincere lamentations. Not, "Did he give you Krishna to fulfill his own desires?" "Yes, of glorious bhakti, I got a kingdom, I got revenge."
I got the emotional service too.
No. He was sincerely lamenting from the floor of his heart. "What a fool I am. How could I have done such a thing?"
This bhakti yoga is quite amazing.
So, if we have material desires, material energy, yes, engage in the Krishna service. That is the instruction of Sri Krishna Goswami. Akama, Sava Kamala, Moksha Kama, and Dhaji. When you are free from all material desires, full of all material desires, or you're lusty for liberation, Tibrena Bhakti Yoga, perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Once Srila Prabhupada said that he's created so many activities in Islam, because he says, especially the Western devotees are accustomed to endeavoring in this way. So how to connect that enterprising, achieving spirit and use it for Krishna's pleasure. That was Srila Prabhupada's expertise. I was talking to some devotees from India, older devotees. I was discussing how it's obvious, 30 years or so after Prabhupada's departure, no one was so expert in taking the energy of Western conditioned souls and turning to Krishna. So these devotees, these older Indian devotees, they agreed. But then they said, "I'm going to tell you one thing, Maharaj. The same applies to Indians. No one has been more successful in getting us to do something practical for Lord Krishna." And that we're seeing more and more in India now, how Krishna consciousness is becoming so all pervasive. In fact, in India, the easiest thing to do now is open up a temple. It's so easy. There's so many people willing to fund you opening up a temple. Then the question comes up. You have to have a qualified personnel to staff a temple. I was just in Noida, suburb of Delhi, a few weeks ago, where one devotee used to be in Melbourne, would be one of them. He's there. And, yes, right in Noida, they built a huge temple, educational center, rooms for people to stay, study, and so I looked around in the Noida temple and the program there, and where's the staff on the street project? I can just see it. Basically, it was a crew of 10 full-time devotees. We don't know how it's going to be done, but we got some backers, and they wanted to donate, so boom, we'll take you to see the project. Went to see the project. Huge building, about six times the size of this place. Well, that's the way it is there. It's amazing how Krishna consciousness is taking off like that. We actually have to struggle to keep up with the growth by providing quality leaders and a quality Krishna consciousness experience. Though Srila Prabhupada, his genius is more and more obvious as the years go by. And yes, we should use our energies under guidance in devotional service. That's the important thing. If you try to plug your energies into Krishna's service without guidance, you're going to hit some bumps sooner or later. And Krishna has designed it that way. Because bhakti must be rendered under guidance. It is actually a complicated thing
to do devotional service within the material world. Guidance is always required.
So yes, use your energies for Krishna's service. Plug those energies, those ambitions, into Krishna's service, but there must be guidance so that gradually the desires, the energies become purified. In order to be a demon who's killed by Krishna, you have to be very special beings. Most demons are small kind. Krishna doesn't personally have to bother them. One strong wind may knock over the house by accident. But the very special demons Krishna comes to kill. So it's much easier to be a devotee than to become such a special demon that Krishna is going to kill you. It's much easier to be a devotee. Although Narada Muni, in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says, look at how much these demons hated Krishna. If only I could love Krishna with their intensity, my life would be successful. So how the devotee appreciates everything. Narada Muni is even willing to get inspiration from the demoniac intensity of their hatred for Krishna. Only I could love Krishna as much as they hate him. Still, it's much easier to be a favorable devotee than indeed an unfavorable Krishna conscious relationship with Krishna. Okay? Thank you very much.